Take your Bibles, please turn to Revelation chapter 7. So we saw here a picture of worship in this passage. I just want to touch briefly on that, then I want to move into another section. And the end of verse 12 saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. So there's those words there at the end, honor and power and might be unto our God. So honor is a part of worship. Showing honor, showing reverence, showing respect unto our God. It also says that there is power and might. Might would be the strength that God has. Power, His ability to defeat all of His enemies. In Psalm number 96, when it refers to the worship of the Lord, in Psalm number 96, you can turn there in your Bibles. We'll come back to Revelation 7. But it says in Psalm number 96, So sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Verse number 2. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name, show forth His salvation from day to day. Verse 3. Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Think of the great power. Think of the might involved in that. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. He says, Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. You know, as you think of giving the Lord honor, giving Him power, ascribing to Him might. You know, there is a proper way to convey those three qualities, those three attributes of our God. You know, does our worship convey that? You know, it says in verse 8, Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Does our worship, does your worship reflect the glory, the significance, the weight that is due God? You know, shallow worship, cheap worship, that's not glory. All right, there ought to be a deepness to the worship of our God. A lighthearted, flippant attitude does not reflect, you know, honor, glory, or honor, power, and might that is ascribed to our God. And the Bible says we are to give Him the glory that is due unto His name. It says, bring an offering and come into His courts. You know, that which we bring God and offer Him ought to reflect His greatness. You know, if we bring as little as possible, that's not reflecting the glory, His greatness. It says, and then verse 9, O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. It says, fear before Him all the earth. We have to come before God with this fear, with a great attitude of reverence in our worship. You know, if you're sitting there kind of joking around with your neighbor, you know, completely on a different subject than what's being presented, you're not what? Well, you're not properly worshiping God. You don't understand the greatness of the God that we are worshiping. You know, if you were in a room, well, maybe I shouldn't say in a room, but let me back up with an illustration. I just thought of my cousin Aaron was talking about some of the things that he would do in training in the Army, and the things that they'd have to go through to with dealing with, you know, explosive devices, and maybe explosive devices that weren't detonated, and they'd have to go in there and take care of these things. And, you know, they had to be careful. And in this school that he went through, there weren't many people that were able to pass everything that they went through. And they had to have they had to be very serious about, you know, what they were doing. They had to be somebody that could really follow orders. And, you know, if you got a bomb there that if you don't do something just right could go off, you're gonna be serious about what you're doing. Why? You understand the power. You understand the strength that's in, you know, what you're dealing with. And as we come to worship God, do we really understand His strength and His power? And do we come into His presence worshiping, really showing that greatness through our attitude, through our communication? And so there's a picture of worship here that is presented in Hebrews chapter 7. But next, I'd like us to see that there is another picture that is given. You know, have you ever done something and then wondered, you know, is that, boy, was that really worthwhile? You know, maybe it was a restaurant that you visited, and afterwards you're like, you know, that was not worth it. Maybe it was some, you know, an advertisement you saw, and you're like, boy, let's try that out. And you realize afterwards that, you know, you fell for it. Is it worthwhile? Well, here we have a picture of something that is worthwhile. We have a picture here of worthwhile living. You know, what can you give your life to and it truly will be worthwhile? It says here in verse number 13, "And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve Him day and night in His temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." We find, first of all, the basis for worthwhile living. The basis of worthwhile living is the blood of Christ. Right? In describing these people, it says, these are they. So they're arrayed in white robes. It says, these are they which came out of great tribulation and of what? Have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Alright, the basis for the current position that these people have is the blood of Christ. Alright, the basis for any worthwhile living that's going to take place in an individual must be the blood of Christ. You know, if your life has not been washed in the blood of Christ, you have no basis for worthwhile living. You know, and if you want your life to count for something, then the first thing you need to do is to make sure that your garments have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. In Isaiah chapter 64 and verse number 6, I'm going to turn there. You You know, a familiar verse in some, in at least especially the one part of the verse. It says in Isaiah 64:6, it says, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away." You know, why do we need this basis? Why do our robes need to be washed? Well, they have been polluted by sin. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We're unclean. Our garments have been defiled by sin. And the only way you will be able to have any worthwhile living in your life is for your garments to be washed clean. In Exodus chapter 19, when the Ten Commandments were going to be given, and as the people were going to be prepared for what was going to be taking place, it says in Exodus, as God was preparing Moses, was telling what should take place with the people, as they were going to be, as God was going to be approaching them, it says in verse 10, it says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow." And what? "And let them wash their clothes and be ready against the third day. For the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai." So what were they to do in preparation for the presence of God? Their clothes were to be what? They were to be washed. And ultimately, someday, if you're going to stand in the presence of God, your garments must be washed. You know what? That preparation doesn't take place once you die. All right? That must take place before you die. The blood of Christ has to be applied now, before you meet God. And notice, before God was going to meet them here, they had to what? Their garments had to be washed. And so first of all, the basis of worthwhile living is the blood of Christ. Let's just look at a few verses in the New Testament. Romans chapter 3. Verses 24, well, let's begin in verse number 23. Very familiar verse. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood." You know, what's the only way that the wrath of God is going to be satisfied? Because of our, you know, that wrath that is directed against our sin, it's only through the blood of Christ. You can try all you want to have a worthwhile life, but someday you're going to meet God and all your sin is going to be there. And unless you have been cleansed by the blood of Christ, everything you've done will be for nothing. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." You know, you were only redeemed by what? The blood, the precious blood of Christ. Ephesians 1, 7, "In whom we have redemption through His blood." The what? The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. the basis for all worthwhile living, the basis of our garments being made white, is the blood of Christ. You know, and then in Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Again, we see the basis for worthwhile living is the blood of Christ. But as, you know, if you're unsaved tonight, you need to realize that the only way you'll have anything worthwhile in your life is if, first of all, you personally, your sins are washed in the blood of Christ. But as we think, you know, if you're a believer tonight, you know, as we approach the presence of God in worship, it ought to be what? We ought to come clean, cleanly. There ought not to be, you know, sin in our life when we come to worship God. Over in Genesis chapter 35, when God wanted Jacob to come and to worship him, Genesis chapter 35, it says in verse 1, it says, "And God said unto Jacob, Arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make an altar unto God." Notice what Jacob says in verse number 2. "Then Jacob said unto his household and all that were with him, Put away the strange gods that are among you, and what? And be clean, and change your garments." You know, there is a proper and right way to come into the presence of God. You know, we ought to be reminded of that as we come to worship God. You know, have we confessed our sins? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, how often do you think of coming as you come to worship God on Sunday morning? You know, in your family Bible time, worshiping God, in your daily devotions, do you think the fact, as I come into the presence of God, as I'm coming to worship Him, I need to have clean garments? You know, the basis for that clean garments is the blood of Christ. Salvation. You must put your complete faith in what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Trusting only the blood of Christ. Your righteousnesses are what? Are filthy rags. But if you are a believer, do we realize as we come into the presence of a holy God, we must come the right way? So there is here a basis of worthwhile living, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ. But secondly, we see that there is a battle involved with worthwhile living. There's a battle involved. It says here in Revelation chapter 7, it says, "And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation." You know, these people, when they were living here on earth, there was a battle. It didn't seem probably to those outside, in the outside world, that their lives were very worthwhile. They went through great tribulation. They went through great trouble. And there is a battle involved in worthwhile living. In Revelation chapter 1, John reveals where he was. It says in verse number 2, it says, "Who bear record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and all things that he saw." And let's see here, Revelation 1, verse number 9. It says, "And I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God And for the what? For the testimony of Jesus Christ. There is a battle involved. If you claim, if you truly have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Over in Revelation chapter 12, it talks about the testimony of Jesus Christ. It says in Revelation 12:17, you know, why are they going through great tribulation? It says, and the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which what? Which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So there is a battle involved in worthwhile living. And notice the characteristics of those that are living this kind of life. It says, which keep the commandments of God and have the what? Have the testimony of Jesus Christ. You know, do you have the testimony of Jesus Christ? It was a blessing to hear Mr. Eka at his work. And they wanted him, you know, to pray. Do you have the testimony of Jesus Christ? You know, in your workplace, if there's something hard going on, would they come to you and say, hey, we need prayer? Do you have that testimony? That testimony brings a battle into your life, and worthwhile living involves a battle. Do you bear witness to the fact that Jesus Christ is your Savior? Does your life bear the testimony, that witness of Jesus Christ, that you are one of His? So we see here there's a picture of worthwhile living. For that, first of all, the basis of worthwhile living is the blood. Secondly, the battle, there's a battle involved with worthwhile living. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And thirdly, we're not going to cover it tonight, but I'll just say it, there's a blessedness of worthwhile living, and that is dwelling in the presence of Christ. And you can see that there in the end of the chapter. And there's some, you know, you think, you know, there's a little contrast, you know, between maybe what they were suffering in the Great Tribulation and what they experience as they're in the blessedness, in the, as they're in the presence of Christ. And we'll stop there tonight. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just pray that You would help us to have lives, Lord, that are worthwhile. Lord, I pray tonight if there are, Lord, some here that do not have the blood of Jesus Christ applied to their lives, if they have not washed their garments in the blood of the Lamb, Lord, that they would be convicted about their sin tonight. Lord, that You would work in their lives and help them to see, Lord, that they need that foundation. And Lord, for believers in our midst today, Lord, help us as we come into Your presence, Lord, to realize the clean garments that we need to come with. Lord, may we recognize the battle that worthwhile living brings. Lord, may we not shy away from it. Lord, but may we courageously bear the testimony of Jesus. Lord, may our lives show forth His praises. May the world around us know, Lord, whose testimony we bear. And Lord, may that truly be something that would bring glory to Your name. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.